Tom with the Legislative Teleconference Network, the moderator here in Juneau. The joint session of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee is ready to open its public hearing. At this time, I'll turn the meeting over to Representative M.W. Miller, North Pole.
I call the Joint House, Senate, Regional and Community Affairs hearing to order at 3:23. In attendance today, we have from the Senate Committee Senator Ferguson, Senator Gilman, and Senator Sackett. In attendance from the House Committee, we have Representative McBride, Representative Blocker, Representative Phillips, Representative Cato, and myself, Representative Miller. Today, we're holding a teleconference on two companion bills, H.J.R. 59 and S.J.R. 34, regarding the Boundary Commission. We'd like to welcome all members of the communities of Haines, Mosquito Lake, and Juneau who will be testifying today. At this time, I will be turning the meeting over to the Chairman of the Senate CNR Committee, Senator Frank Ferguson.
Thank you, Representative Miller. And at this time, I'd like to turn over the chair to Senator Gilman, who has, for the past 3 years, dealt with anything dealing with annexation or whatever with Community and Regional Affairs. And I believe it is appropriate that he take over this chair.
Thank you, Senator Ferguson. To kind of set some ground rules for today's meeting, we were going to first hear from the sponsors of the two resolutions we have before us, and Senator Lassen will lead it off. Representative Gohl, I believe, wants to make some comments. Then we will go to Haines and to Mosquito Lake. We'll alternate between Haines and Mosquito Lake until we've heard all the testimony. I am going to limit the testimony to no more than 3 minutes. I will cut the testimony off, come on the air, and say your time is up. With that, Senator Eliason, would you like to make comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now, Mr. Chairman is a member of the Senate and House Committee on Community and Regional Affairs. Of course, I'm Senator Dickie Eliason, and I represent the City of Haines and the Haines Borough and the State Senate. I will make my remarks brief in order to allow residents of the greater Haines area to participate on the issue of the Haines annexation. I would like to preface my remarks by saying that I am a reluctant participant in this issue because I do respect the autonomy of the individual communities in my district. However, our state constitution requires a legislative involvement on this particular type of annexation, and I do not intend to abrogate that responsibility. With that in mind, I would like to point out several specific questions on this particular annexation, which makes closer scrutiny important and warrant introduction and passage of Senate Joint Resolution 34 and House Joint Resolution 59, which disapproves the proposed annexation. My office has been involved in researching this annexation question for a number of months, primarily because of the enormous amount of negative mail I was receiving on the issue from the Haines area. Before deciding whether to introduce a resolution of disapproval, I obtained a complete set of the Boundary Commission's files on the Haines annexation, reviewed them, and Representative Gohl and I had an evening-long teleconference with Haines to discuss the whole issue. After all of this, it is apparent that there are a number of reasons for concern besides the lack of consensus and approval within the community. First, the local Boundary Commission initiated this proposal. A year ago, the City of Haines requested annexation of the Lutac Dock. That annexation did take place and was approved. But then the commission came back and proposed this much larger annexation. This seems like a dangerous precedent for the commission to establish. The danger here is one of loss of local initiative and autonomy. Second, the local vote taken on this annexation was 391 against and 216 for. There is often opposition in a community to proposed boundary changes, but usually not in this grand of scale. Also, the no vote was in the majority in this case, and the proposal went ahead anyway. As legislators, we should recognize the risk involved in calling for a public vote and then ignoring the results. there's a danger of undermining the public trust and the public input. We don't want to make a charade of it. Third, there are legal questions about the two-year kick-in clause. The Attorney General says the delay effective date is okay, and our legislative legal services say it is not. The most important opinion, however, is the legal services one which says that if the two-year clause is not thrown out by a court challenge, the rest stands, meaning the annexation is effective immediately, negating the compromise agreed upon and losing the chance to unify instead. Fourth, we should be worried about the precedent this annexation proposal sets with its unify or else approach. Annexation and unification ought to be each weighed and decided on their own merits by a community, and not just as a lesser of two evils on this particular basis. Last, because of the way this matter has been handled both within the community and by the Boundary Commission, a traditionally hot issue has become a hotter one. At this point, it is just too divisive. Passage of the boundary change as currently proposed will only be harmful to the community in the long run. For these reasons, I believe the legislature ought to disapprove of the Haines annexation and send the community back to the drawing board to reconsider its options. I believe a solution can be found which will be better for the future of Haines and more agreeable to more of the residents affected. I certainly appreciate the consideration of the two CARA committees and urge the passage of a resolution before you.
Thank you, Senator Eliason. Are there any questions from any of the committee members? If not, we'll go on to Representative Goel.
Can I just use this microphone?
Yes.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Peter Goel. I also represent Haines and District 2. This issue has been an issue which has been current in Haines for some years now. In part, it was initiated by the need of the city to get legal permission to operate its dock, which is located outside of the city limits. A resolution was accepted, that is the last recommendation of the Boundary Commission, was accepted by the borough of Haines and was not rejected by the legislature last session. That particular ruling annexed the dock in question. This particular annexation started in an attempt by the city to annex the intervening real estate. The Boundary Commission determined that the criteria necessary for such an annexation did not exist, and consequently the Department of Community and Regional Affairs recommended an area almost three times the size of the original annexation that was proposed. One of the main problems with this issue in the community from a public opinion perspective is the belief of many people that the legislature and the Boundary Commission and the Department of Community and Regional Affairs are intentionally trying to destroy the third-class borough. I've tried to assure people that this isn't the case, and yet an annexation of this type, which would virtually destroy the borough's taxing power by taking most of its people, is being used locally as evidence of this intent. Nonetheless, the current commissioner of the Department of Community and Regional Affairs rejects that idea and has not been very flattering about the quality of this particular annexation. I believe if we had the current leadership in there, we would not be where we are today. What I'd like to address briefly are the particular points that were stated by the Boundary Commission as criteria for this annexation, and just elaborate first a bit on what Senator Eliason said regarding the legal opinion. The opinion of the Attorney General, or the Attorney General's office, indicated support for the annexation as written. That proposal would defer the annexation date for 2 years unless the city and borough had unified. Representatives of the borough indicate that this was not, in their view, the compromise, if you will, which was arranged, and I'm sure they will speak to that point. The Attorney General maintained that a deferred annexation date was appropriate, and rather than citing the letter of the Constitution, referred back to the Constitutional Convention minutes to develop his argument. The Division of Legal Services opinion, however, is based on the specific language in the Constitution, and that opinion uses the language in the Constitution which state that the boundary change will become effective at a certain point, not the recommendation. Therefore, there is, in the opinion of Legislative Affairs Division of Legal Services, a clear contradiction between the Constitution and the language of the recommended annexation. To take the points that were made in the Boundary Commission's recommendation, I'd like to just run through them very quickly, and I think the testimony which you'll hear will probably elaborate on these points. Number one is that the Greater Haynes area is urban in character. Well, I'm sorry to contradict the drafters of this piece, but the Greater Haynes area is not urban in character. As a matter of fact, one of the requirements for annexation in the regulations indicates that an area that is being annexed should be comparable in population density to the annexing area. And what we find in the current city of Haynes is a density of 382 persons per square mile, and in the area to be annexed, 38 persons per square mile. So we're looking at 10% of the population density of the city in the area to be annexed. I have a letter that speaks more colorfully to the point, one of dozens and dozens that I've received, all opposing this annexation, both from within and outside the city limits. I've received no communication in support of the annexation. Just to give you some feeling of public opinion here, the local boundary, this letter from a couple in Haynes states that the local boundary commission statement calling our area the Greater Haynes area and urban in character is a creation of their imagination. There is simply no such entity. And it continues to indicate that they do not grasp the nature of the communities involved. In fact, I think you may find that testimony will be developed which will show that there would even be grounds for taking the city of Haynes out of the borough based on the extreme differences in lifestyle needs within and without. Second, that the Greater Haynes area is currently receiving municipal services which only the city can provide. There have been some very serious problems with the city's ability to provide services within the city limits, especially the water system, that's come under criticism lately. In addition to that, the area to be annexed is not requesting or requiring these services. With regard to other services, for example, the schools, the Chilcat Center for the Arts, and more, we find a number of these are actually borough services that are being provided to the city, and the funding of which is based on the population outside the city, not within. Regarding the third criteria, that planning and zoning is needed, prior to this order, the borough voted to give itself power of planning and zoning. And as far as number four, conditions which endanger the health and welfare, there is one sewage problem at a point called Piedad Road, an area adjacent to the city limits that may be suitable for annexation. I won't continue with this any further. I think some of these objections are going to be discussed in greater detail, but the point of these examples is to indicate that the criteria for annexation and the phrasing of the order itself do not correspond either to the Constitution or facts of the case. And the recommendation that I would make would be that the city and the borough and the Boundary Commission return to the drawing board to come up with an annexation proposal which will not generate such a high level of discontent. Thank you for permitting me so much time to take this point.
Thank you, Representative Gall. Any questions from any members of the committee? Senator Lyason, Representative Gall, will you be available after the public testimony from Haynes? Should there be any further questions?
Yes, I will.
If in that case, then we will go to Haynes. I'm going to call on Mr. Robert Henderson, who I believe is the borough mayor and also at the top of the list. I would ask Mayor Henderson, if you would keep your remarks as short as possible. I'm going to try to keep a 3-minute timeline on it. Proceed, please.
This is Bob Henderson, Haynesboro Mayor. Both the City Council and the Borough Assembly felt that it would not be in our best interest to confront each other before the legislature over annexation. We decided to try to compromise despite the fact that the borough constituents voted overwhelmingly against annexation. The compromise was reached that the city would request the borough, the local boundary commission, quote, place an effective date of 2 years on the annexation petition or until the city and borough of Haines have completed the unification process, unquote. This was taken from the city council meeting, meeting number of 11-22-83. However, the local boundary commission's recommendation to the legislature says, quote, annexation will become effective 2 years from the date for legislative approval and only if the city and borough have not unified. This means that on the 3rd of March, 1986, annexation will occur even if the charter commission is working on an acceptable charter. When dealing with the charter for a unified government, the charter commission should not be restricted in its time. We have a very diversified interest in our community. It's going to be very difficult to get our citizens to agree on a charter. It's going to take probably two or three times before we'll ever get a charter that everyone will be satisfied with. We cannot work under a time limit of 2 years. I do not think that we could begin to get our charter ready. If the Boundary Commission decides to annex in 2 years, this would pull some 500 residents outside the city into the city of Haines, leaving 330 miles or more above, away from the city, who have little interest in unification. We do have another problem. I would like to correct one thing Representative Gall said. The borough tax base would not be destroyed in that we would still have the same persons to tax. However, we would receive less municipal assistance funds. And since the population would change from what is now 800 approximately outside the city to about 300, we use our municipal assistance funds to operate our library, our Chilicat Center, and the Sheldon Museum. All these are inside the city and primary for city residents, although the outside residents certainly do have can use those. The city authorities have asked several times to me why citizens up the highway should have been involved in this issue, since they aren't going to be annexed. But annexation will affect them, since it will deprive them of much of their representation on the assembly. At the present time, they have two representatives from up that way, and one from the outside who is at large. So they have three members on the borough assembly. If annexation occurred, it would mean five members would be coming from the greater city of Haines, one from the outside area, and the borough assembly would then be completely city-oriented. Senator Eliason has already told you much about why we are afraid of annexation because of the legal questions, so I will not go over those again. Representative Gall also did a very good job on listing, going over the reasons that the Boundary Commission listed for annexation and why they are not effective. The one last that he did not cover was the claim that the residents outside do not pay their fair share for the benefits they receive. We'd like to look at the year 1982-1983. City property tax at that year was 6 euros. They paid $150,597. Residents to be annexed have a fire service district of 2.6 mils. They pay $27,366 to the city treasurer for this service. We also have our municipal assistance funds, which depends upon the residents outside the city, and in fact should be spent outside the city, since the city receives funds for residents inside the city. But the borough spends these funds inside the city for the city residents as well as for the outside residents. We spend $37,063 on the library, $7,036 for the museum, $66,613 for the art center, a total of $138,078. The difference then is $12,520. The major tax source for the city is their sales tax, and both residents inside and outside pay the sales tax, which amounts to $471,456. In closing, I feel our community every few years when the city wants to annex some more land. But the unification process needs to proceed without a narrow time limit, since we will take time to work out a charter that we can all agree upon. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Are there any questions from the committee of the mayor? If not, I will take the prerogative of asking Mayor Hollowell of the City of Haines to testify next.
Thank you, Senator Gillen. Wish I could be down there with you today, but it's snowing up here. I don't think anybody's going to get down there now. My name is John Hallowell, Mayor of the City of Haines, and I've been a council member since 1975, and I've served as mayor here since 1979. During the time of the annexation issue, many of you have heard a variety of charges and countercharges about the merits of annexation. Many people have stated they feel the state of Alaska, through the local boundary commission, is forcing the people of Haines into annexation, with the sole purpose being to dissolve third-class boroughs. This cannot happen through this action, or is it desired by the city of Haines. Nothing is further from the truth. After this hearing, I'm sure it will become apparent to you, as it is to the city council and local boundary commission, that the Haines annexation is a textbook case of the reasoning behind the creation of the Alaska State Boundary Commission. The people that voted for annexation and directed the city council to continue to seek annexation are not anxious to restrict anyone's lifestyle, but only desire that the services we provided to the people of the involved area share equally in the cost of administrating the city project which provides that service, such as harbors, docks, recreational facilities, and other items which will be discussed with you by Daryl Maple, who is in your audience in June of the day. They also desire proper planning and services. Annexation in Haines is not a new issue. In 1979, we had a petition before the Boundary Commission, which was withdrawn when I became mayor later that year. In 1982, state statutes informed us we were not allowed to operate a dock that we had owned for about 3 years outside the city limits. We then filed a petition which was limiting our request for annexation to that dock. However, later that year, the state Boundary Commission came to Haines, held hearings, and made a recommendation that the boundaries be much larger than what was proposed by the city. And that's where we're at today, listening to the pros and cons of the merits of the Boundary Commission recommendation. The area in question is about 2 or 3 miles in circumference. I don't have that accurately. And we are receiving testimony from persons living as far north of here as 35 miles. That's sort of like asking Tacoma to come in and plan for Seattle. I urge you to follow the lead of the Sheffield administration, who has, through the Boundary Commission, placed the issue before you. Most recently, at the urging of the Alaska Conference of Mayors, the governor appointed a task force to look at the inequities of funding throughout the state. As president of that organization, I used the city of Haines as an example of such inequity. The governor and I agreed that a solution to such situations must be resolved, or I'm sure he would not have appointed such a task force. Some people claim that the approval of this annexation will destroy the last frontier. The city of Haines feels that until we have annexation, we have no power to protect the last frontier. Protections of the right to have substandard roads, raw sewage, and ditches, and allowing substandard development is not within the spirit of the protection of the last frontier. We applaud the Community and Regional Affairs and the Boundary Commission for making the decision and urging you to pass this resolution out for full support of the legislature and help us preserve the last frontier in a style we can all be proud of. With that, I'll close, and it's obvious from the testimony from my elected representatives that they have been listening to the mayor of the Haines Borough more than the mayor of the Haines City, so I guess I better get to work and correct that. I think there are many things here that have come up that need to be answered, and I welcome the opportunity to testify before you this afternoon. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor Hallowell. Any questions of the City of Haines Mayor? If not, I'm going to break from Haines and we'll go to Mosquito Lake. I believe the first person that I have on the list is Denise Burnt.
Yes, thank you. My name is Denise Burnt, and I am here to testify in support of Senator Dick Alliance's and Representative Peter Gall's joint resolution to disapprove the proposed annexation by the Local Boundary Commission. I feel there are many reasons having to deal directly with the democratic process we all believe in to support the proposed resolution, which I would like to address at this time. I feel the Local Boundary Commission has overstepped its intended purpose by coming to the City of Haines with recommendations without listening and considering what the local people want. The City of Haines originally wanted to annex 3.5 square miles to include the Newtap Port facility. On January 14th, 83, the Commission rendered its decision to annex only the Newtap Port, and subsequently the first session of the legislature approved that proposal. Then the Commission came to the City again. This is why I feel the Commission overstepped its purpose by now proposing to annex additional territory three times the size of Haines, without considering again the voice of the people. There also seems to be some discrepancy on the part of the Commission's report, and the Commission failed to look to the capacity of the City to even begin to offer services to the new proposed area. There are people that are currently within the City who are without benefit of services of sewer, water, and even roads. The Local Boundary Commission has also attempted to sway a form of local government by attaching a unify or else to its proposed annexation. I feel that the residents of this area should decide what kind of government we should have and not be pressured into a unify or annexation proposition. There are two complete different areas. These are two complete different areas, and I feel again that the local people need to be heard, and that the Local Boundary Commission should only have the power as an advisory board to a local area, and then allow the people of that area to decide what is best for that area. I again urge you to support our two fine elected officials, Representative Peter Gall and Senator Alliance, who have the support of the majority of the people here in the Haines area, and ask you to support their joint resolution to disapprove the proposed annexation by the Local Boundary Commission and allow the people of Haines to decide for themselves what is best for our area, and to continue to have the choice of what kind of government on the local level we feel best meets our needs. Thank you for this opportunity to let my voice be heard.
Thank you. Any questions of the last person to testify? If not, I will keep it at the Mosquito Lake, Billy Kirk. Kirk? I think it is.
Kirk? No, Kirk. Good afternoon. I'm a 10-year resident of Haines, and like many, enjoy the form of freedom we have in the third-class borough. Let me say I'm against the annexation of the city of Haines. As the Boundary Commission report, I find it grossly inaccurate and hard to believe that they were talking about Haines. First, to say the area to be annexed is urban in character is ridiculous. The good bit of the area is uninhabited, and the area that it is inhabited barely comes up to being rural. Secondly, there are very few people in the area receiving municipal services, and if more wanted service, they could get them by service areas. Third, there is no likelihood of any great amount of growth in the area for quite a while. And if an area felt it needed planning and zoning, they could get it by the service area method. Fourth, the sewage problem on Piedad Road apparently is limited to one family, which if they do not take care of the problem on their own, could be forced by the court or by the Department of Environmental Conservation. Fifth, when a few residents that do receive the city services darn well pay for them, and I'm sure that the tax assessor takes this into account when he approves the property. Then we get to the problem of forced unification or annexation. In 2 years. As has been stated many times, this is political blackmail. is not illegal, it is certainly immoral. And on that basis alone, this petition for annexation should be thrown out. As far as I'm concerned, the Department of Community and Regional Affairs needs its wings clipped so this sort of thing can never happen again. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Any questions of the last testimony? If not, we'll go back to Haynes and Robert Rowland.
Robert W. Rowland. I operate the Canal Community Mental Health Program, which serves Haynes, Skagway, and Clark Warren. I'm speaking today in response to a suggestion that the City of Haynes does not provide services to borough residents. The City of Haynes is the grantee for a community mental health project and provides in excess of the 25% match in order to gain the state funding. The borough itself does not provide any support for the program. From the time of the program's inception, there has not been a significant difference in the population served, city or borough. Both of them serve approximately 50%. There has been no significant variance or difference in the amount of money for the pay or not pay for clients served by this center. That's frankly, that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rowland. Any questions of Mr. Rowland? We'll keep it at Haynes. The next person that I have on my list is Wilma Henderson.
She doesn't want to testify. Would you want the next name in order? We have here would be Marvin Hartshorn. Okay, he doesn't want to testify now, so okay, who you got down to next?
The next person that I have is Judy Bolander.
He's coming to the mic.
My name is Judy Bolander, and I live at 40 Mile on the Haynes Highway. My comments will be brief, but cover several points as to why I'm against annexation, both as a citizen in the borough and as a borough assembly member. The proposed annexation of the area around the city of Haynes would raise the entire borough tax. This is caused by the shift in the population and the loss of a municipal assistant. The borough now is the only taxing agent for the school system, also I want to do. Take that. Thank you. The reason I oppose the proposed unified municipality is the way it's written. The local boundary commission gives us 2 years to come up with a charter and implement that form of government. What I find fault with is the fact that Title 29 clearly lays out the procedures to acquire a unified municipality. It must pass by a majority vote inside the city limits as well as outside the city limits. The impending annexation leads me to believe these people have not been shifted to inside the city limits population because of their vote. That may reflect their opposition there. If they are left outside the city limits for 2 years, they would have a choice of two types of government. If you were in this position, which would you be? The fact also remains that they outnumber the voters that would be left in the outside of the city limits population should the annexation take place. What I am trying to say is that if the annexation takes place, the vote may pass in the city for a unified municipality, but those left outside the city should have the choice on their own as to whether to be in a unified municipality or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? We go back to Mosquito Lake, and I believe the next person I have is Janet Kurtz. Excuse me.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Janet Kurtz, and I live at 27 Mile Haynes Highway on Mosquito Lake Road. I am against the annexation for a lot of reasons. I feel we have not gained anything from this. but we will lose a lot. I have been a resident since 1973 and have seen and heard a lot of how the city runs, and I don't want any part of it. It is true that the annexation of the land that has been proposed doesn't affect us now, but if this goes through, that will let the city have its foot in the door, and who knows how long it will be before they get greedy again and try and annex the rest of the borough. Also, if it goes through, the amount of people we lose from the borough will force our taxes to rise. There is no way the city can provide the services to the people that they want to annex. As it is, they can't take care of what they already have. I can't see giving them more. I hope you will pass the bill to kill the annexation, as we are tired of getting things shut down our throats. The Haines borough is very unique. It is the only third-class borough that has the freedom left to the people in the state, and I would like to see it stay that way. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a Janet Woodring at Mosquito Lake?
This is Janet Woodring. I object to arbitrary regulations regarding annexation by non-elected representatives. The annexation or else unification sounds like a threat to me. I went through this type of deal in the journal. We were included in a service area we did not want. We're given promises which weren't filled, and when we objected, we're told, we know what is good for you. Is that the attitude of the Boundary Commission?
Yeah.
Douglas was eventually forced in with Juneau, although they were happily in the black financially, and Juneau seems to be ready, and that was the problem. Too much government seems to spread like an epidemic. Juneau was like an octopus, grabbing everything within reach, even miles out into the building. I don't believe more government is necessarily better. Perhaps we borough residents would do better by trading outside of paying people thinking aren't paying taxes and trade and buying goods and services with help for their support. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go back now to Haines, and I believe Carl Heinmiller is the next person to testify.
My name is Paul Heinmiller. I've been a resident of Haines for 35 years. I would like to say it outright that I'm a little bit shocked, I should say, by Representative Gall's statement, and also somewhat by Senator Elias, because the statements he made are not correct. Mayor Henderson was correct for one about the change of the tax base that cannot be accepted. My concern is the fact that we are not a borough versus a city at all, but we are an entire area, and that I believe that Senator Gall or Representative Gall should be representing all of us. There is constant talk about the fact that we need time to unify or to have a service commission. Now, that's, we've been doing that for 20 years. Under the Raider Act or the Mandatory Borough Act, Haines, by either an intentional mistake by the legislature, left us out of the Mandatory Act. As time went on, there was a fusion of the Special Independent School District, we found it illegal. They finally forced upon us the third class borough, which left us on one side of Berlin. At the Boundary Commission meeting in Haines last month, and then the teleconference following that, I was subject to held, and it got to be a matter of the numbers game. You can easily load an audience with people that are not even from the annex area, which is what's happening now. In the last teleconference hearing, there were some 45 people that were testified, and only 7 were in the area of the annex. It's confusing to me as why people that are not in the area of the annex did not have as much impact in his voice as people to communicate. We hear the fact that it should be a democratic right. The people in the past did not have a chance to vote on the Mandatory Borough Act. That was done by our elected officials, and that's what we should be standing by. Over the years, over the last 20 years, the matter of a charter commission or changing the borough status has come up 5 different times. And each time, it has been voted down, each time, more and more against. Certainly, If we have a 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, unless you make past the charter commission, there's no way they're ever going to get as a charter to fix their expensive people. This idea of serving in character is almost laughable, because the entire area here is either not urban or urban. And if you look at those, especially from Piedad Road across into Helms Loop Road, identical. And the only one thing missing in possibly that is the sewer line. But the whole entire area is classified properly as getting this all identical. One major problem to me is the fact that good friends are now becoming enemies. And most people are afraid to speak out. In 1784, when our Constitution was finally put into effect, people did not want taxation, they did not even do today. We don't want gas taxes raised by the federal government, we don't want the Jones Act, and so on. But also, it's a surprise to me that less than a month ago, the borough met, and the entire borough voted to not oppose the action of the Boundary Commission, which is dated as approved on September 20th, January 17th, 1984, and signed by Mayor Henderson. Now all of a sudden there's a complete turnaround of what is necessary here. I think that the area that is supposed to be annexed is necessary for the ordinary development of our town. We have one of the eight in town now that began to develop because of a lost control of it through planning, and it's now become a problem for the city. So the idea that the fringe areas of the town, which are always there, urban or whatever way you want to call it, that idea has a little merit. So I feel that our representatives that are elected by Mayor Hollowell represent the majority of the people in the city, and they should have as much weight as the people in the annex area. Again, questioning the validity of having a great number of people that are outside the area of the annex before the annexation, having as much say as to convince Senator Eliason and her Senator Dahl to retreat completely to that side without hearing from the representatives of the President of the jury in the city of Hanson. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Heinlein. I go back to Mosquito Lake. I believe it's Ann Clay.
Yes, Senator.
Good afternoon, Senator. I'm flying this just for my husband, Tom Clay, who is in his road. He is the Borough Assembly member. Most of the things that he has written down have already been discussed by Senator Gall, Senator Eliason, and I think the main thing that it's all repetitious, except the one point on this January 17th, when the borough meeting was voting on this compromise. And the first time it was a 3-3 tie. The second time on January 17th when they voted, it was the meeting lasted roughly about 2 minutes. And there was a casting vote, both from outside the city limits. Judy Boletta wasn't there, and by the time my husband got there, he had been working with how he got there, the meeting was already over with. So that really isn't very conductive. They need to correct count when they say that they did override the compromise. I think the whole thing is boiled down to the fact that the people outside the city maybe not going to be annexed now, but maybe it will be someday. It also cuts down the amount of people in the borough, it cuts down representation, it'll raise our taxes, it makes student occasion a more attractive thing to people who want this for 20 years or more. I think it's a case of government again trying to tell us what they want us to know, what we want to do. And I think that's mainly the reason, a lot of these people come out here are very unhappy with their situation. I do feel the Mounted Commission and feel communication affairs, just looking at different solutions to this whole problem together with the Borough Assembly and the City Council. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go back to Haynes, David Land.
Coming to the mic. Hello, I'm David Land. I'm David Land. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm proud to be a borough resident. It seems like we're more active than the residents of the city. As you know, the borough people here and the representative against it. But I'd like to go back to what I mentioned the last time I talked on this teleconference, is that when I worked for the mayor of Sullivan at the entry, and the MS went out to vote for the administration of the Muldoon area, those people were almost 100% for it, and very few was against it. But it's just the opposite down here in Haines. And this is, in fact, it's a complete 180. And I seem to hear a broken record on the draw scene. And my family, my wife and I, we have probably put in, roughly $10,000 or so altogether. People are well in a concrete septic tank. And I just kind of wonder if we could investigate this. I hear about a lot of raw food then, and there don't seem to be any in that area anymore. There was at times because I was small the older and I was driving the vehicle. But the people have corrected it. And I had the same situation in my house. We were buying our home to the Veterans Administration. And our septic tank went out, and I could start doing it, and it made me feel bad for that. We tried to save my money to fix it, and we did fix it, but it didn't feel nice and perfect. So the raw food sewage thing, I don't really see how to poison any water. And I'm a lifetime resident of Haines, almost, and I'm a Vietnam veteran with honorable discharge. And I just appreciate this time, and I appreciate our representatives here. They seem to have covered it thoroughly on everything. And I'd just like to thank the people for this opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Mr. Land.
We'll go back to Mosquito Lake. Dorothy McLaughlin.
He's coming, Senator.
Thank you. The part that upsets me most is the idea that we have to let this annexation go through or go unified, one or the other, and the people out our way just don't want either one. Annexation of a small portion of ground to include the dock, why would they come back later and say, oh, you might as well take this great big pile along with it? What prompted that? Was that some of our famous city fathers in there asking them if they could do it that way, or was this just their own idea to tell the city, go ahead and take the big lump beside what you normally would have had? Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go back to Haines. Is there anyone else to testify in Haines?
Yes, Senator. I have Richard Frederick. Do you want to testify? Yes, I have about three or four more people. He's coming to the mic.
Could they make sure that they give us their names so we can get it for the record? We do not have their list here.
Yes.
My name is Richard Fredericks. I live in Small Back Road, just as part of the borough. I work as substance abuse counselor in town. And I guess my only point is, of course, I am against the annexation, and I'm for the bill that was introduced by Gall and Eliason to stop the annexation. And I guess basically one point that I keep seeing is that the city council, the city generally, does not have the community consciousness involved in really involving everyone. There is not the sense of community. So I cannot see why the borough should become part of it, because there is not really a sense of that awareness of lots of people that need lots of help. I see from the whole area of social, the social needs of lots of people in the borough and the city. And also I sense the motivation that is not there. I wonder why the push for the annexation, why it's being pushed in the first place when the vote was taken. I disagree with Carl Heimlich, but I think that even though the people that are speaking are not even part of the world that's going to be annexed, I think they speak for everyone, and the vote was taken. and the 300, there are so many people who voted against annexation, were speaking loudly and clearly that they did not want annexation. So I just would say that, to me, that's enough said. The people have said it. And even though just a few would come forward and even not a part of the annex area, I think they're speaking for everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Frederick. Is there anyone else at Mosquito Lake to testify?
Right now, Senator.
Thank you. Then we'll go back to Haynes, and would the next person come forward? Please give us their name slowly so we can get it on the list.
Yes, Senator. Ken Bryant will be coming forward, and he'll give you his name and who he's representing.
My name is Ken Bryant. I'm a resident of the city of Haynes, member of the Haynes City Council, and land manager assessor for the Haynes Borough. It's my opinion that unification is the best option for the people of the Chilkat Valley, and as you well know, Haynesites need plenty of time to reach a consensus on anything. I do believe, however, given enough time, the benefits of unification will be apparent to all. Annexation, I feel, would jeopardize the unification process, and for that reason, I'm opposed to annexation at this time. I might add that under a unified borough, taxing areas can be constructed based on services provided, resulting in equitable taxes throughout the valley. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Would the next person please approach the microphone and give us their name, please?
He's approaching, Senator.
This is Sherry Clifton, Haynes Borough Assembly representative from the at-large Searing Borough Assembly. I've served on the assembly for twice, a resident of Boston, 31 years. I've lived in Haynes for 21 years.
Could you approach the microphone just a little where you're fading out?
I can't believe this thing's working, but if it is, here I am. How do you read?
Fine, loud and clear.
I'm one of the few people here in the room that is actually in an area that's going to be annexed. I feel that right now there are many services that, living where I do, that I receive from the city of Haynes. We've utilized a lid and got water out in our direction for five families live out where I do, through that was administered by the city. And I find that that any time that I need the police assistance or people in that area do, we've also been afforded that assistance without any delay. I found that a lot of the things that the city have asked for in their petition for this annexation is, I agree with what they say on their petition. However, the part that I don't agree with is the community and regional affairs option to legislate things like mandatory unified government in 2 years. The community and regional affairs in telling the city that they could annex, or proposing that the city could annex the area that they proposed to annex, I feel that they've jumped out of line, and maybe we should take a good look at who's running the community and regional affairs. I feel that those options should be laid aside for the city government rather than the community and regional affairs, and I'd like to, if at all possible, to check into whose decision that was. I know that we have a new commissioner there now, maybe things are running right, but I feel that they're in error in saying what they did. The proposal as proposed, without the time frame that would enable us to put together a unified charter, is something that I can't go along with. For that reason, I favor the Senate, the joint resolution sponsored by the senator and the representative, and I feel that if they would just drop the time frame for to establish a new form of government for the Haynes Borough, that maybe we could live with it. But the way it's set up right now, I don't think we could live with it. I'm in favor of changing the form of government in Haynes, but I think it's going to be a long battle. If we allow the annexation to go through the way it's designed right now, we can never have the people that are outside of the city of Haynes that are actually in borough residents. I don't feel that they'd vote in favor of it, and I feel that we'd be hamstrung. I would like to offer my support for this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Clifton. Is there anyone else in Haines that wishes to testify?
Yes, there is, Senator. He's here now.
Yes, my name is Eugene Zimbrick, and I live at 2 Mile on the Haines Highway, and I am within the area to be, which is being annexed. Once again, I'd like to go on record as being against both annexation and unification as has been proposed. I cannot foresee any way in which my lifestyle would be enhanced by such a move as annexation or unification. I own 5 acres and live on the 5 acres within the area to be annexed. I have a business which the people, by not being within the city, they save a 3% sales tax, which I believe by listening to their comments that they do enjoy. I have my own drilled well and my own septic tank type sewer system. And as I said, no one else resides on this 5 acres. And I feel that by the annexation or the unification, that by having this acreage, and the reason I moved here from Anchorage was, one of the big reasons was to be away from the populace, to have more control over the government. And I feel that I cannot be represented as I should. Also, possibly some of the reasons for this move might make sense, but when people are told what they will or will not do in governing themselves, I question where our politicians have been during their last adjournment. I believe we must unify our goals so that we have or can obtain a healthy economy. But I don't believe that by Big Brother's intervention, any unity among ourselves will come about. A mediator may be necessary, but this office, again, should be filled by one mutually agreed on. I thank you for your time and ask that you consider the democratic form of government in your decision.
Thank you. Anyone else in Haines that wishes to testify?
Yes, Senator Frank Haas is approaching the mic.
Good day, gentlemen. My name is Frank Haas. I'm a member of the Borough Assembly elected from within the city. I'm a resident of the city and the borough of Haines, which so many people seem to forget that city residents are also borough residents. I would like to read into the record the minutes of a special meeting number 339 held January 9th, 1984 of the Haines Borough Assembly. Meeting was called to order at 4:03 by Mayor Henderson. Present were Bill Oliver, Marty Tangs, Gerald Clifton, and Frank Haas, and Mayor Henderson. Bolander and Clay were absent. Staff was Jackson and list the visitors. Minutes start. Local Boundary Commission approved a 2-year extension of the annexation effective date at their meeting in Kodiak on January 7th, according to a telephone call from Jim Sanders, the commission's administrative assistant, and a statement of decision will be forwarded on completion. Mayor Henderson reviewed the advantages in accepting the commission's decision and noted that the only apparent major disadvantage would be the separation of the school board and the assembly, but added that it is possible that the charter could be designed so as to avoid the conflict this has caused in other unified areas. A motion by Bill Oliver, which was seconded by Marty Tangs, the motion was to accept the Local Boundary Commission's decision and no longer pursue opposition to annexation, carried unanimously on a show of hands. There being no further business, the meeting was adjourned by unanimous vote of all at 4:11. I think this says an awful lot when the city council has voted in favor of the annexation, the borough assembly unanimously by the members present voted in favor of it. I feel that really the idea of trying to overturn the annexation is not proper. I would also like to say that at the meeting that I attended when the Boundary Commission was here, that it was a recommendation that we review the possibility of unification and that this is not a mandate put forth by the Local Boundary Commission. It is a suggestion made by people who are on the outside, who are looking in, who may be able to see the trees that we don't see because we're in the middle of the forest. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hoff. Is there anyone else testifying in Haines?
Yes, there is. Joanne Reichert is approaching the mic.
Moderator, how many more people do we have?
We have two or three more.
I would ask them to make it very short because we have other committee meetings that are going to be taking place. We are going to have to discuss this. We've got other people in Juneau to testify. Please proceed.
I am Joanne Reichert. I'm one of the few that is proposed to be annexed out where we live. I live outside of the existing city limits on FAA Road, and we have 7.5 acres of undeveloped land with our home there. I'd like to say and go on record as firmly stating that we, my husband and I, in the past, have been against the annexation and or unification, and we still remain that way. And to say more would only be repeating testimonies that have already been given against annexation. I thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Would the next person please come to the mic?
My name is David Danny. I'm a resident of the city of Haines. I've been in favor of the unification concept of the community of Haines for quite a few years for many reasons, but I'm not in favor of any plan that achieves unification that is coercive, especially with deadlines. It could take 5 years for the community to review the process and finally get a charter that was acceptable to a vote of the people. They can vote a number of times before a charter is actually approved, and the two-year limit is very arbitrary and unreasonable. So I'm basically, I'd like to go to square one and give the community an opportunity to look at unification in a with a reasonable time frame.
Thank you. Anyone else that's there to testify?
Yes, I have Hazel Nelson, then Bruce Gilbert, so they're here. She's going to testify now.
This is Hazel Nelson, and I'm glad that we have all this opportunity, and I am against annexation as it is proposed. The scientific definition of the word civilization means no more or less than the art of city living. In the olden days, there was none of that. And that's from Sugar Blues by William Dufty. And I recommend that everyone read Sugar Blues. It tells many things we need to know. And Abraham Lincoln said, the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a living from a small piece of land. And my son in the Chilkat Valley News, along with other comments from other people, said, in my daily dealings with the city, I find the city had better get its act together before taking on more territory. We do want to work together. So I think what the borough voted to approve was to work with the city, and that individually they have their own ideas about annexation. Thank you.
Thank you. Bruce Gilbert, please.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, I pressed the wrong lever here. This is Bruce Gilbert, and I'm a resident of the community of Haines, just outside the present city limits. And the point that I would like to make is that I have a business inside the city limits. It's been down there for 9 years, and the area was annexed 13 years ago, and just last fall I got some water after having dug my own well and my own sewer system. So you can see that if this is any experience of the city, it lacks something. I'd also like to say that perhaps if we had 391 people voting against annexation and 216 for annexation, then perhaps our representatives really don't represent the majority of people here. And that I hate to see happen. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. And as I understand it, that concludes the testimony from Haines.
Yes, Senator. I don't have any more people want to testify.
Is there anyone else that's come in at Mosquito Lake?
No one else has come in.
Senator Mosquito Lake. A couple points I'd like to make real quick, if I may.
Proceed, but we do have some time constraints.
Yes, Senator. The city mayor mentioned that it was only a small area really to be annexed. I just checked through the Boundary Commission's report. 10.79 square miles. I can't call that small. You've had some other testimony. One borough assemblyman is receiving some services, but I can remember him very well. What he was talking about, he didn't get any. And that's when he lives in the same place as just before he was a borough assemblyman. So maybe things like this sort of shade how people think.
Thank you very much. We'll now take the testimony back to Juneau. We will keep Haynes and Mosquito Lake on the line so they can hear the testimony that's given here. I would ask anyone that's going to testify that they come up to the microphone and use the microphone so that it does go out over teleconference network. I would ask you to make your comments short so that we do have the opportunity for the committees to hear from the local boundary commission and for us to discuss the issue that's before us. Bell Blue is the first person that I have listed.
Thank you. My name is Bell Blue, legal name Betty Breck. I'm a volunteer lobbyist, and I've been requested by individual members of the Haynes Borough Citizens Against Annexation to speak to you this afternoon. I've received a number of letters from various citizens in Haynes, and they all are reflecting the attitude which you have heard in the majority this afternoon, that the citizens are opposed to this annexation. One letter states that we have been trying to keep a small form of government since 1966, and so far we have won. The people that would be annexed would suffer double taxes and no benefits. It's very clear from the correspondence I've received, and I'm sure members of the legislature received it also, that the people of Haynes are opposed to this annexation. One question that I would have is why the local boundary commission is pushing for this annexation so hard. One letter that I have received perhaps might shed a little bit of light on this subject. I'm quoting from this letter that says, the Boundary Commission allowed two people from Haynes to be at the final decision meeting held in Anchorage. And those two people were for annexation as they had some acreage to sell that was located near the city of Haynes, and the annexation would bring it into the city limits and therefore make it more valuable to sell. Another letter that I received mentioned that a realtor from Haynes was one of the primary sponsors of the annexation proposal. The letter I was quoting on, quoting before, goes on to state that those two people who testified no doubt put pressure on the Boundary Commission to pass on full annexation. They should have invited people against the annexation also from Haynes. This was very unfair, unwise, and has caused much distrust of the Boundary Commission by the people of the Haynes Valley. I definitely have the feeling that the people of the Haynes Valley are having this thrust upon them and are trying their hardest to oppose this. It's nice that they have the opportunity to speak to you by teleconference today, but as you know, an appearance in person is often much more effective than teleconferencing, and you will later be hearing from members of the Boundary Commission. I would ask that you keep in mind the comments of all of the citizens from the area and the comments that they have passed on through me as you hear your testimony later. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. So that we don't misunderstand, I am rejecting out of hand any insinuation that there was pressure brought on the Boundary Commission. I have worked with the Boundary Commission for a period of 10 years. I can guarantee you they don't pressure, because I've been in situations where they were put under a great deal of pressure, and they have always rejected any pressure that was brought on them. Representative Locker?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like to request that the committee chairman, in addition to the statements you have made, set some guidelines for testimony. Now, there have been accusations made. The people that have made those accusations, the quotes, their names should be entered into the record, or else if it was an organized group, that has made the accusations, then the name of that group be repeated. I think it's unfair to the Boundary Commission to quote from letters and not give names, or else, like I said, if it was an organized group that made the accusation, the name should be on the record.
Representative Lockhart, Chairman, will take that under consideration. I am going to move this committee along. Sheila Gallagher, who is the chairman of the local boundary commission, has to catch a plane. In all fairness, we have listened for about an hour and 10 minutes of sometimes vitriolic statements about the local boundary commission. I can only make the comment that it is a constitutionally structured and created commission. It has certain mandates given it to by the Constitution, not by the law. They have evidently had a very difficult situation in Haines. It was there last year. I think it was there the year before. It'll probably be there next year. But I would just make one comment, that someday the legislature is going to get tired of hearing about Haines annexation problems and going to let one of these stand. Sheila?
Gallagher from Anchorage. I'm chairman of the Boundary Commission. And the
would you get her one that will have a switch on it?
Sheila Gallagher, chairman of the local Boundary Commission from Anchorage, and our other three members of the Boundary Commission are here with me. Josephine Anderson from Wrangell, C.B. Bettisworth from Fairbanks, Bert Grist from Selawick. My opening sentence you've already stated, and I certainly appreciate that, because we find very often when we go around to different communities and come to the legislature that people do not understand the function of the commission. I think the reasons why we opted for approving the annexation are set out in our...
Could you get a little closer to the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry. The reasons that we opted for the annexation originally, before we amended it with a two-year delay, I think are fully set out in our report, and just by reading that, you can understand why, and it's not necessary to, I think, go point by point. As to why we amended our decision and talked about and actually agreed to insert the two-year delay, we were not using blackmail. In fact, the Boundary Commission considered that it was being responsive to the request of both the city government and the borough from Haines. We also had discussions with some of the legislators from Haines. We knew that the procedure of having a two-year delay at implementation was unusual. We determined on our own that it was legal, subsequently have been referred to, supported by the Attorney General's office. But we thought we were responding to a problem in Haines, and that we were being responsive, giving the people an opportunity to view the implication. The 2 years was not pulled out of a hat. The period of 2 years was referred to by both governments. It seemed to be a reasonable period of time. We thought it was important to put in some kind of time limit, otherwise the problems would continue on, as you refer to, each and every year we go to Haines. We thought about the experience of Anchorage in getting a charter and what might be reasonable. And since the governments have suggested 2 years, that's why we put 2 years in our amendments. Now, we still stand by our original decision to annex that larger area to the city of Haines. We think that the quote-unquote compromise that we've attempted to do is satisfactory as well. Now, if anyone has any particular questions.
Yes, I believe Representative Phillips has a question. We're going to have a little difficulty there with some mics. Go ahead, Representative Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just Sheila, you know that I live in Eagle River. We had similar problems with annexation. Maybe not the same as Haines, but one question I do have...
Could you speak up a little bit and closer to the mic?
One question I do have is, what is the definition of urban? Because Senator Gall had mentioned that within the city limits, 382 people per square mile versus the annexed area of 38. And I was wondering if that's a standard or a definition of urban, rural.
Would you mind to
make sure it's
urban? No.
Like,
Would you like to join?
The state actually has a definition by which an area is considered to be urban, and this fell within that definition.
What is the
I'm trying to remember if it's 38 or... I thought it was 6. It was in the... The department's report, it is not in the... It is not in our decision per se, so right now I will plead that it's flood out of my mind. But in fact, we did look at that problem, and we did consider the guidelines that the state used in other capacities. And I think one of the persons who testified here today made a very good point. If you look at the entire area, really the whole area is urban and the whole area is rural. There is not that much difference in the various parts of the Haines Borough. But we did follow a state guideline, and if I could defer, Mr. Sanders, you remember that's one per, remember that number?
Oh, hey, you got us into this.
14 persons per square mile, so we did consider that.
That's the definition.
Mm-hmm, that's the definition. Senator Gilman, I was just confining myself to Haines since it appears that there were no other resolutions introduced and there does not appear to be any other controversy regarding the other recommendations that we've made. Is that in fact correct so we can...
Yes, Madam Chairman, I guess that is the right term. Ms. Gallagher, there are no other resolutions before us for it, and I don't think any of the committee has any questions about any of the other annexations. Am I mistaken on that? I'm sorry, Representative Locker.
I don't have any questions.
Would you speak into the microphone?
I have no questions that I'd like to bring up at this time, but I'm wondering, since both chairmen are here, if it is your intent for us to have a joint meeting and address the Boundary Commission's letter this year.
I'm not sure that I followed that, but I cannot speak for the chairman of the CRA committee other than that there has not been any notice that's come to my office that there would be an additional meeting other than this one.
I would be much better able to rule on this resolution if we had had such a meeting.
Senator Gilman, there's one other thing that members of the Boundary Commission have discussed as perhaps a solution to what appears to be a problem in Haines. And several years ago, the legislature approved a study of the city of Nome because there were continuing problems in the city of Nome. And perhaps that would be one solution. The Boundary Commission has no intention of abrogating its responsibility, but that study appeared to be beneficial for Nome, and at least it's an idea to consider for Haines.
Yeah, I recall I was involved in that, and it did do a good deal of resolving the issues in Nome. I'm sure that the committees will take that under consideration. Is there any further discussion, any questions that Sheila Gallagher? Mr. Bettisworth, did you wish to make any comments? I did have you down here as a participant.
None.
Okay, no comments. I have left out one person, which was Darrell Maple from the city of Haines. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Myself, personally? I have a written statement I want to present for the committee.
If you have a written statement, I would suggest that in the expedience of time that it be entered to the committee and we will put it into the record, unless there's something different than what we've heard from other testimony.
No, I can enter it as another record.
Thank you, sir. Senator Eliason.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask Mrs. Gallagher one question.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I certainly appreciate the job that the Boundary Commission is charged with doing, and believe me, I know that being a politician that it gets difficult at times, taking one side or the other. However, I guess the question I have relates to an area-wide vote, which nobody has questioned the ballot whether this vote is valid or not, and that is the fact that there were 391 people against and 216 for annexation. Now, I've been in the legislature a number of years, and I don't recall any annexation approved where the majority of the people were against. Now, have you, you recognize that as a question or not?
That is true. The vote was taken after we made the decision. It wasn't the vote that we had in front of us at the time we made the decision. But I would like to go back to some of the comments that Senator Gilman made early on and that are referred to in Billy Barrier's opinion when he recites that circumstances in the Dillingham case. While that may be a factor, that cannot be the sole consideration in the Boundary Commission's determination as to whether or not an area should be annexed or detached.
Mr. Chairman, I understand it fully, but the point being, of course, is that whether a vote was taken before or after the fact, the point is in the legislative arena now, and if, are you aware of any particular annexation which has gone forth against the majority of the people involved?
Eagle River was not an annexation. Eagle River was not an annexation issue.
No, no.
He's talking about the city of Petersburg, which was about 4 or 5 years ago. There may have been one Kodiak. I'm not sure. I should have researched the files because you asked me that same question. And when the time we had the teleconference, there have certainly been detachments where that's the case. Annexations per se, I'll have to do my homework.
Representative Miller?
Ms. Gallagher, you just stated that the vote was taken after you had made the decision. Let's assume that the vote was taken before you made your decision. Would your decision would have been the same?
I can't speak for the entire commission. I haven't polled them on that. But I think I just responded to that. That is one factor that we would consider, but we have to consider all of the statutory standards and the regulatory standards in deciding whether or not an area should be annexed. So that would only be one factor that to me would not be the controlling factor in and of itself.
Any further questions? Representative Locker.
You have testified, and we have heard people on the teleconference network that have indicated anyway that there has been a change of sentiment in the community. And you were there, and you did hear the people. Can you help this committee tell us your personal opinion of how this has come about, if you have one, or what you think has generated this strong opposition for these people to get their elected state officials to oppose the Boundary Commission? Is a pretty important step they've taken, and I'm just wondering what has generated that.
I don't know. I was surprised because I thought when we put in that two-year delay that we were answering the concerns of the individuals in both the city and borough of Haines, at least the majority, since we had had communication from their elected officials. So as to what brought about this change, I don't know. I was surprised.
Representative Gall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think maybe I should try to add to that a little bit, if I might. First of all, there was not a substantive change at least since February 19th, which was the last meeting to, February 24th, the Lincoln Al News stated that about 70 people were in attendance at the public hearing. The meeting lasted for 4 hours, and besides several city officials, less than a handful of the audience was in favor of the annexation. This was kind of the impression that was not only generated by those meetings, but by the correspondence we received. And subsequent to that, in an effort to come to some closure on this issue, I did speak with Sheila Gallagher and just to see whether or not it would be possible to get the city-borough compromise accepted without trying to influence that decision in any way, but just to kind of find out where things were. And she indicated to me that every effort would be made to work out an equitable solution. And I'm sure that the Boundary Commission is acting in good faith. I respect the constitutional authority of the Boundary Commission. And what I think is an issue here, though, is this particular annexation and whether or not the information which led to it was appropriate. When that information was published in the newspaper, subsequent to the decision coming down, the volume of correspondence to at least my office, and I believe that Senator Elias, increased markedly. And I would repeat that it was 100% negative. You all have a packet of the letters which I've received in your file, and it's almost, it's over a half an inch thick. It's quite a group of correspondence. The points that I addressed in my opening remarks, and I won't belabor the committee by repeating, but there are 5 points listed here as the criteria for the annexation, and I regret to say that whether or not the annexation is justified, the criteria given for the annexation is simply full of errors, and it made people extremely unhappy to feel that this annexation was going to take place on information which they did not believe to be reflected in fact. I have to further add that some of the testimony that was made in favor of annexation, I intend to support, but it would not be testimony in favor of this annexation, nor would it be testimony in favor of this, for lack of a phrase that everyone can agree on, a forced unification. Specifically, the area which Mr. Heinmiller spoke of, which is directly adjacent to the city limits, which is currently being subdivided by the borough, I think would be appropriate to be included in the planning and zoning of the city because it is directly adjacent to other residential property which is being planned and zoned by the city. On the other side of town, at the High Dad Road area where the sewage problem took place, there's an argument for an annexation there. I think the point of this exercise is to suggest that we go and look at the situation again, and if it means coming back every year and going bit by bit, maybe by careful thought and careful planning and a higher level of public involvement, we can reach a final resolution of the city government issue in hand that at least will satisfy most of the people. Everyone understands that when one is going to be annexed and one's taxes are going to increase, there's a logical inhibition, and that's why the Boundary Commission exists and why I would support its existence. But I don't think it's there to come in and use information which is not the best information to create an annexation that goes way beyond the needs of the community at this time. And it's because of that perception by the people that at least I, for myself, have come forward on this. I feel the Boundary Commission has done what it could, but I think its information was not as good as it should have been. And I'd like to see the process commence in a spirit of cooperation rather than having anything forced on people in this way, although I know that that was not the intent of the commission. I think that is the result.
Ms. Gallagher, did you wish to... I'm looking at the clock and know that you have to make a mad dash for the airport. And I do thank you for coming. Are there any other questions of the Chairman of the Local Boundary Commission? Thank you. It seems like annually we have one of these somewhere around the state. I don't envy your job. How long have you been on it?
Oh,
8 years. 8 years? Okay. Any further discussion? I noticed the gentleman from Haines City who had prepared testimony. I really have cut you off. If you have any remarks, I'll allow them at this time.
If the mayor wants me to enter an oral
testimony, would you come up to the...
Can you ask Mayor Hallwell if he wants me to enter an oral testimony? He's on the other side.
I'm going to rule that out of order on a matter of expedience. Mayor Hallowell has made his remarks, and I thought maybe you had a comment that you'd like to make.
Up on the table.
Yes, I wasn't going to enter the entire document.
Please identify yourself. So.
Daryl Maple, City Administrator for Haines. I don't want to enter an entire document as part of the record, but I will put it as written record for the commission. The portion I would like to note, though, is that the constitutional framers during our process of statehood understood the state's role in this issue completely. They established procedures whereby annexation can occur. Central to this process is the establishment of the LBC's involvement in objectively deciding on the issues of fact for a recommended decision to be forwarded to the Alaska State Legislature. There are those people who feel that LBC should not be involved in local decisions. They are seriously mistaken. The issue of annexation is a state concern. Alaska Superior Court held in previous decisions, and I quote, those persons who reside or own property in the area to be annexed have no vested right to insist that annexation take place only with their consent. The subject of expansion of municipal boundaries is legitimately the concern of the state as a whole, and not just that of the local community, end quote. I think that puts the responsibility directly back with this body and the local boundary commission, and I respect their decision, and I also respect the unanimous decision by the Haines Borough Assembly and the Haines City Council, and I think you guys as elected officials should represent that also.
Thank you, Mr. Maple. Any discussion from the committee at this point? What is the wishes of the committee, Senate committee?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that the Senate committee is ready to take action on our bill, on the Senate version of the bill, and which is identical to the House version, and we will also take that action. I'm hoping after we have a brief at ease and allow the House to do what they wish.
Okay, thank you, Senator Ferguson. We'll have at ease. I'll turn it back over to Representative Mike Miller. Going again, turn the meeting over to Representative Miller so that the House CRA committee may discuss the issue.
I'll open it up for discussion among House committee members on the House committee bill. Yes, sir. Okay. Representative Phillips?
Mr. Chairman, right now we got about pretty close about an inch thick, maybe an inch and a half thick of documents, and I've only briefly reviewed it this morning, this afternoon, and just to make a decision right now, I'm not prepared to do that right now.
I understand, Representative Phillips. For other members of the committee that have just received their documents, the House will postpone action on HJR 59 until tomorrow, at tomorrow's meeting.
That's fair.
We're back. The Senate Community and Regional Affairs was back in, what are we back into?
Back in the Senate.
We're back in action. Do I hear a motion? Representative Senator Telford?
Move the resolution.
Motion, move the resolution. Any objection? So ordered. With individual recommendation?
You pass.
Do pass recommendation. Any objection? So ordered. There's nothing else to come before the committee. Committee's adjourned. We would like to thank the people in Haines for having spent with us this afternoon. The Senate Joint Resolution will now go to the Rules Committee for calendar.